Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wild, wonderful, wacky world of wrestling. Money. Some people got it. Some people need it. Hell, some people even cashed it in. But we'll get all into that momentarily. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads, because we're just about rounding second, about to slide into third base on the road to WrestleMania. And what better way to commemorate your fandom by going to your favorite website for news, reviews, opinion, and analysis with attitude, because you're smarter than the average fan. So hook some brothers up by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We literally have something for everybody. We've got Save Tag Team Wrestling, Jesus Did the Job. We still got a couple of those defunct Plat Blast 2020 campaign shirts. We ain't sent them all yet over to Cambodia, okay? There's still some left. You can still grab one. And many, many, many other cool designs. Hashtag journalism as well. Other cool designs. Again, I say it week in and week out. If you enjoy the content we provide day in and day out at The Chair Shot, and wait till you see what we got coming up for you down the pike during WrestleMania season. I think you'll be very, very intrigued. But make sure we keep providing that content by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you, thank you, and please. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. And as always, I'm joined by the Commissioner PC Tunney and Mr. Andrew Snowflake Balls Mick Foley Blaz.
I bang chug salt water all the time. Thanks.
That's his superpower. You know, Mick Foley.
It is. And then I shoot it out like a water gun, but it's a salt water gun. That's why I do the bang bang. It's good if you already have a cut, because then it just kind of burns and gets irritated. It's nice. It's nice.
That also clears the nasal cavities.
That's nice too.
That's a horrible visual. You squirting.
And it's interesting foreplay though. Think about that.
And now seared into my fucking brain like a cattle prod.
You're
somebody,
welcome.
Anybody, say something else, please. Somebody.
You know, you get scarred as a first grader when they call you fire hose. It's just great. I'm like, what can I say?
Can you imagine Andrew just bending over and just letting it rip? Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, if I bend over and let it rip, that's a whole different thing. That's fucking, you know, a gas bomb, and then people die. It's worse than the Tedger joke where people go, I'm here on business. It's much worse than that. Much worse.
Please say something. Say something else. Well, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, buddy? How's everything going on in the wonderful land of ATL?
I'm pretty much sure I'm scarred for life, so I'm not doing very well
now?
Right now.
Come on, you've said much worse than I have.
I just thought about opting out of the show today.
After this, much worse than anything I just said.
After this amazing start, I thought about opting out of the show today. And I even just messaged that to these guys. But, Platt, I can't leave you alone today with this. With this, Andrew.
You think you can opt out? This isn't the bank. You can't fucking do that around here. This ain't a credit card. Your credit's been revoked, motherfucker.
I'm ready to opt out, too, because all I can see in my head is Andrew. Y'all remember a couple of years ago when Kim Kardashian put out those naked pictures of her on the internet and she had the champagne bottle? And I don't even want to continue, man.
What magazine was that for? What magazine was that for?
See, I so don't you're trying to tell me there is sex in the champagne room, if you get what I'm getting at, right?
Don't let them fool you. For the right price, there's always sex in the champagne room.
For the right price, everything is on the table, including that champagne.
Just getting in a workout.
Pop the cork, baby. Pop that cork.
Keep it moving. Just getting in a workout.
Can we just get to topic one? Because I don't know where the hell to go from any of this.
That's a good workout, though.
You don't have any bullets left in your chamber?
So? You don't think sex is a good workout?
I mean, it is. It does burn calories. It burns calories with a smile on your face, which is better than most exercise.
You're burning face calories, not only along with body calories. You're burning face calories.
There we go. Face calories.
I think we got title. Space Force, I think we got a title. Calories. Burning face calories.
Mm-hmm. That's why people can normally tell if you lost weight because they can see it in your face.
I just can't get the image of Andrew squirting out of my head, and it's frightening and horrifying.
I'm not even going to ask for that to be the title.
At least it's not like a title, though. The sprinkler system.
That would be a title. Actually, maybe we could do that. Should that be the title? Should we do Andrew squirting? Is that the title?
No, Jesus Christ.
It could be. Andrew invested slip and slide.
Have you talked about prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot yet?
I don't know, but we can go from squirting to Moppy. We could always talk about wonderful Moppy stories because Saturn had some great stuff he did with Moppy.
Okay, you know, Alex, wait, guys, no, stop,
oh,
Alex.
A plug because of squirting?
Oh man, that's horrible.
What you're talking about? That's nice. It's like a cork. It stops squirting.
I was gonna ask Alex if I could have what do Perry Saturn and Shawn Michaels have in common for 1,000?
Is it sunny? Because I feel like it's sunny.
No, it's the left eye. Maybe the right eye. It's eye, okay? That's the answer. Thank you.
That's not an answer. The answer is what is the eye?
Yeah, you didn't form it in the phrase in the way of a question. Don't you have a plug you should be doing right now to try to guess the first topic? Or we could keep talking about squirting and sprinklers and sunny and Perry Saturn and Moppy. It's all up to you, buddy.
Is that the order it would happen? That's hilarious.
It's like lions and tigers and bears.
Yeah. Like obviously,
sunny,
yeah.
My.
As long as they're squirting, Moppy goes last. We'll be right back.
Moppy, oh my.
This is your boy, Tony Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
I need more time.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Well, folks, you heard the opening song, and money, 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 Mr. Money in the Bank, The Miz, is now the WWE champion. I'll be honest with you guys, I loved it. I thought it was great. I didn't think he was going to win when he came down. But when he hit the skull-crushing finale, I knew. I knew there's no way in hell they're not giving it to him. So what were your thoughts on that specific moment when his music hit after everything happened, and then we'll go back into Elimination Chamber?
So first off, I want to just take a few seconds to pat myself on the back. Because on these very airwaves, many, many weeks ago, I told you both, and I know you're not going to give me my props, but it doesn't matter. That's why I'm here, okay? I told you both that Miz is going to successfully cash in his money in the bank. The reason
that's
being...
The beauty of you talking first, you get to make it seem like we weren't going to give you the props, right? So you get to play the defensive role?
No. I'm giving myself my flowers, Mick, okay?
How do you know? Bang, bang. How do you know we weren't going to give you flowers? I know where flowers are. I've been to a florist before.
Were you?
You look like a lilacs guy.
You
like lilacs?
Were you? Were
I
you?
Were Maybe you? It was. We don't know, because if I do, now it's going to about bullshit. So I'm just going
to
have
Folks, you're not actually listening to a podcast. You're listening to three gentlemen that do not know they've actually been put together to go through therapy.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't...
Any therapist listening to us, you realize that, right? They would retire and open a fucking candy store.
Are you finished or are you through?
I'm done for now.
I think he's hurt. He's not injured.
No. I'm limping a little, though.
If you all listening don't speak moron, that means that there was no way in hell that neither one of these two gentlemen was going to give me my props for calling that Miz was going to successfully cash in his money in the bank.
Pretty sure you said it was going to be after WrestleMania, though. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think so. And that applause was tepid at best. That's I want stadium applause. That was like last man standing recorded in front of a live studio audience applause.
I only have one other applause file, so this one I have to do.
What applause did you expect? Did you expect a "This is awesome" chant or like a "You deserve it"? Like, what the fuck are you getting at?
Yes.
Really?
The answer is yes.
Really?
That one bitch said right on at the end.
There we go.
Did you hear her?
Bitch
listen,
is saying
listen,
right on.
Listen, that's right awesome. At the listen, right at the end, that bitch is like right on. Did you hear her? She's like right on.
She's giving you credit. She said you were right on.
So now you all go from last man standing studio audience round of applause to UPN's homeboys in outer space round of applause. That's actually worse.
You called it UPN. Worse. That's dated.
Oh, that was my initial reference was "Give Me a Break," but I didn't think anybody would remember that show. You don't.
What are you talking about? We all love Kit Kat bars.
Okay, cool. So, Miz cashing in the money in the bank. I thought it was a hell of a moment. It was kind of telegraphed because you saw MVP and Miz conversing backstage prior to the match. But it was a great moment. And I love how it pissed off Andrew's minions, a.k.a. the IWC. And shout out to MVP, because I know y'all saw this floating around on social media as well. When Lashley and Drew had their initial match, and he said that MVP said, I'm paraphrasing, that I will be involved when you lose that title, basically. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, I love the prognostication of MVP. I mean the other MVP as well, though I guess it does work. There's a parallel there. You know, great minds think alike, similar abbreviations think alike, so I like it. MVP's making just predictions everywhere.
Did you guys think when his music hit and you knew he was coming down, did you A, yes or no, think he was actually going to get the bell ring and it was going to be official cash in, and did you think he was going to win, yes or no? I mean, Chris, you said he was going to win, so I'll start with you. You likely thought he was going to win once the bell rang, but did you think he was actually going to cash it in?
Yes.
I mean, obviously the Bobby Lashley part probably led to that. Andrew, did you think he was going to win?
The whole MVP conversation, like there was too much setup to not give you some kind of finish, and it seemed to line up too perfectly. And it's great for Miz, honestly. Like, he gets a second run, you know, he's even more ingrained in being a Hall of Famer than he was to begin with. even though he was initially. Like, it's awesome for him. Like, he's done so much for the company. He's had his own brand. He's got the Miz, like, Miz and Mrs. show, and he's been a highlight of WWE the last couple years. Even if it wasn't for the wrestling perspective, it's for the entertainment perspective. And be it the Intercontinental Championship when he tried to single-handedly elevate it with, you know, chasing Jericho's record and all that other stuff, and all and what he went through before, and now getting the WWE Championship again after, granted, okay, the Otis thing was a little cringy, getting the briefcase through like divorce court or whatever the hell it was, but it still worked itself out. I'm happy that he got his damn title, and he's all right. He's good. He's a 2-time champion. There's people that would kill for that. You know what I mean?
And I've always loved The Miz. I mean, number one, his story is fascinating. Yes, and let me tell you why. Is he the second coming of Luthez in regards to his wrestling abilities? Of course not.
No, I mean, even early on, douchey Miz, like where he was just fucking irritating and stupid and clumsy. Like, was there no warm-up period for you, or did you appreciate him literally from jump because you watched way too much Real World as a kid?
Yeah. So I knew where he came from, and I knew his backstory. And then once he got there, it was like, oh, cool, he's actually going for it. That's cool. And I saw early on what they saw in him, which is why he got so many chances. I mean, he's a guy that you can take outside of the industry, and he can do media for you. You know, he looks good in a suit. He's charming. He's articulate and well-spoken. He's a guy that's going to represent the company well.
I wasn't doubting you. I was literally asking because we didn't know each other, like, what, 12 years ago or however the fuck long he's been in WWE? So I'm just like, did you really like him from jump, or was there a warm-up period? Because I did not like initial version. I liked him on Real World. I liked when he got drunk and he was The Miz and he was trying wrestling moves on everybody and pissed everybody off. But early on, he was a little insufferable, which I get was the character, but, like, it wasn't typical douchey heel where I want to watch him and want to watch him get his face punched in. I was just like, no, I'm gonna turn off the channel and, you know, go away for a while.
I've loved The Miz for a long time. I'm a Real World kid, right? I mean, watched all the seasons of The Real World and stuff like that, and Road Rules Challenge and everything else. So that was really cool to see that crossover. Granted, there were points where you were like, well, fuck them assholes in the back, and then there were points where, like, you're watching The Miz, like you said, and you're like, oh, man, I don't know if this is really going to happen. Because at times, what he was given to work with, he was not doing a great job. But as he got closer to that WrestleMania, obviously, and even a couple years before then, you could tell that there was something there. I mean, generally, if you have somebody with a little bit of athletic ability and a great knowledge and a good look, you're going to get something pretty special. I'm saying he's more special than that, but... That's a good formula.
I agree. I'm just personally, it took me a couple of years to appreciate him, because it wasn't really until like the last, I'm going to say probably 5 or 6 years, that I think he figured it out really. And
oh, yeah.
He started making the shtick his own, and I started to enjoy it, instead of just, he was just douchey frat boy who was like way too old but still doing the same gimmick. And after he figured it out, then I'm like, all right, I like you. You got it. You figured it out. You paid your dues. You know, you are where you should be. Your upper mid-card, you know, main event, floating whenever it's necessary. And I think this second title reign is definitely well-deserved.
Well said. So the going up and down the rest of the card, I like both the Elimination Chamber matches. Obviously, I think that the SmackDown one was better than the Raw one, but obviously we had the reveal and the pop at the end of the show that carried us into to Monday night to see what was happening. The women's match, yeah, and the three-way, I think we all kind of,
it wasn't terrible.
I'm not gonna say it wasn't terrible.
You know what, I forgot that I said this on DWI, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that I said that if Roman Reigns isn't last, then Drew McIntyre's not walking out of that place with the title. So, just forgot. I wanted my flowers to take home with me, too. I'll be a good boy the rest of the show. Go ahead.
Hey, man. Ain't nothing wrong with jerking your own chain every now and again. So, what did you guys think about the ending to the SmackDown Money in the Bank? I thought it was well done, because I know it's received a lot of criticism, or a little bit of criticism online, but Daniel Bryan was selling that knee injury throughout the entire Elimination Chamber. He started in the Elimination Chamber. I thought that it played very well. Plus, it played into Roman Reigns' douchebag character. Of course, he's going to come out and hop on a wounded Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. It was perfect, honestly. And it sets up well for Bryan to get a deserved rematch, because there's nothing clean there. Even though he lost, quote-unquote, clean, he was injured. He just wrestled a fucking Elimination Chamber match. Roman took advantage of the situation and the fact that he could just kind of make the match whenever he wanted, in a sense. So he utilized wrestling logic, and there was plenty of psychology there to prove that Daniel Bryan's going to get another shot. Ideally, you would think that, you know, he'd get a shot to maybe win the belt and be the conquering hero off the evil, douchey tribal chief. But I think that kind of depends on what happens with his Mania challenger, because I liked the not so subtle nod to the conversation they had on SmackDown with the hands behind the back and the kind of condescending conversation whisper in the ear. So Edge did that very well. Roman did that well beforehand. So I think that could be a lot of fun. And I don't know if there's going to be a chance for Roman to have to defend the belt at whatever the hell comes before Mania, Fast Lane or Pit Stop or whatever fuck they're calling it this year. So, yeah, we'll see. But there was plenty of psychology there to pay it off. It's just, you know, people complaining that it wasn't fair. Like, you know, we like Daniel Bryan. Well, fuck you. That's the point. You're supposed to like him. You're supposed to think it's not fair. Because, newsflash, it wasn't. That's why Roman's a heel. Figure that out.
And that's the thing. Again, Edge, he confirmed what we all already knew, that he was going to challenge Roman at Mania. And yeah, to people that say that, just like the Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns situation and the Miz situation, people are like legitimately pissed. You're getting worked, bro.
Yeah, the fact that they feel a certain way about things proves that it's working.
He's totally missing the segues here. We were supposed to get into topic two now. I was setting it up because of where we're going with topic two.
Oh, I know. That's the only reason why I said something else, is because, you know, the moderator dropping the ball again.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
There's stuff going on. Do you want me to edit it out, leave it in? What do you want me to do?
You got texts from your exes? What you going to do?
No, nothing.
Nah, it's fine, man. We just busting your balls. You can leave it in.
Yeah, this is fun. This is part of the whole beauty of Pod is War. We break that third wall. We break that fourth wall. We're on that fifth, sixth wall shit. It's fucking funny.
What's the sixth wall like?
Why don't you tell us?
All right, gentlemen. We're going to stick with WWE. Topic number two right here. WrestleMania prospects. What are you expecting from each title? Obviously, as we move forward, Edge and Roman. But the WWE Championship is up for grabs. What's going to happen with Big E and the IC title? We got all the tag team matches all around, etc., etc. That newly U.S. title. And Bad Bunny has the 24/7 as well. So, break down your thoughts for WrestleMania at this point in time.
Yeah, so this definitely could be more of a you thing.
Well, I brought this topic up, man. I was specifically just speaking about the world title, which is why I tried to do the Miz segue, but Sonny went off in another direction. He wants to keep us here for another 90 minutes, so cool. How about we get you out the way, Andrew, and then I'll clean it up, because you're not going to take very long here.
No, I'm not. You're right. So, like, we know the Edge and Roman thing. I don't think Drew and Bobby is going to be for the title. I think something bullshit's going to happen between Miz and Bobby. It's going to, much like you said last week, where Bobby and Drew are going to face each other, just not for a belt, and there's going to be some payoff there. Miz is going to have something else going on. You know, ideally, I'd like to see him hold the belt a little longer, because and it's only his second reign. Like, giving him like a couple weeks or a month, that seems a little shitty. I mean, if it makes sense storyline wise, I don't care as much, but it's just weird. Maybe we see Damian Priest get a shot at the Miz because of the Bad Bunny stuff. Maybe Bad Bunny kind of interjects more, and then we see Bad Bunny and Damian Priest corner, and Morrison and in Miz's corner, and you know that he works himself into a championship match somehow. It could work itself out there. Asuka, I'd still like it to be Kairi Sane, even though there's not a lot of room to make that happen. And since there's not a lot of room to make that happen, I have no fucking clue where they're going with that. So, I mean, Charlotte seems inevitable in a way, but it'd be nice if it wasn't. I'd like to see Rhea Ripley show up somewhere and maybe have her own special singles match with Charlotte, especially since it's 2 days, so we don't need to have title matches in every match. I don't know. I mean, I guess tag-wise, we're going to get Muscle Barbies against Shayna and Nia, or whatever the fuck Dana and Mandy are supposed to call themselves, since they're kind of interacting a bit together with one another, so that'll probably work itself out somewhere. Intercontinental. That's a good question, because I don't watch a ton of WWE, so I'm not really even sure what that whole area looks like. So who are the bigger players that could really push against Big E that would want that, that aren't, you know, having their designs on the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship?
Why can't we find Big E against Seth Rollins in a program for WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship?
Because I think he's earmarked to be with Daniel Bryan. And by he, I mean Seth Rollins. But Andrew, did I say that Lashley and Drew were going to be at Mania, but not for the title? Because I don't recall saying it like that.
I think you said it was going to be for the title. I'm just seeing it as not, because I would personally like Miz to not drop the title after 1 month. But it could work that way. You have a shot. Like, it could be Bobby could take it off of him, and then we could have a really short Miz reign, which I guess works for the character, and that could turn into the Bad Bunny tag team for just spectacle event, which is fine too. But I don't know. I'd like Miz to get at least 2 months out of this, at least.
I don't think Bobby Lashley gets the title at all.
God damn it, Tony.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm not saying that he isn't worthy of it.
Because like a couple months ago, Tony was trying to give a black man a job when you were trying to take it away. So, you know, he's never against, you know, putting brothers over.
Yeah, but Tony still can't see that Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar are still, they are the exact same person. I don't see how you can't see that.
How can you not
but
see
you
that?
You don't see that.
Lashley's been called Black Lesnar for the last decade and a half.
The difference between Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley is the difference between the UFC and Bellator.
Still had a better record, still mixed martial arts, still college wrestlers, still genetic freaks. Still look like if this was real, they'd beat everybody's ass.
So
neither one
Jake
the best
Hager
on the
in
stick.
That same conversation, bud.
Fuck no.
Let me know when you're.
He has a better MMA record. He has the same pedigree.
Let me know when you're done.
Look at Bobby Lashley.
Let me know when you're done.
Lesnar.
No.
And then look at Jake Hager.
Can I just want to. I want to encourage you to take as much time as you need. And when you're done, I have 4 words for my argument.
Go for it.
Still made more money.
Yeah, and we're not going to get into why that is, because it goes to what I'm saying. They're literally the same person, except for one key difference.
Brock
Bobby didn't have any hair.
Brock made it into UFC and won.
That's what we're going with. I like the pivot there.
Brock
that
won the
good.
UFC heavyweight championship. That's the biggest difference.
Because I thought you were going to bring up a melanin deficiency in one of them, and that's why I was just like, oh, wait, are we going there? Oh, no hair. I like that one. That was a good pivot. I like that joke.
Yeah, it's called sarcasm. Thank you.
I know, but back to good one. I'm putting you over for the joke. You didn't have to make it obvious.
Nah, but get back to what I said. I don't care about those secondary titles right now. I think we are heading towards Asuka and Charlotte, which I love because I love their first Mania match, and I think that has an opportunity to steal the show. Now, the WWE world title on Raw.
Wait, Sasha and Bianca too, right? We can just nip that in the bud.
Oh,
real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
Both,
yeah,
everybody.
That was happening,
okay.
Though.
Yep.
Did I miss something? I thought that was obvious.
No, I don't think
it
that's
is,
been announced.
It's not.
She hasn't picked
yet.
Yeah,
it's not official yet.
They're working a program.
Really?
They're working a program on Fridays, but not announced.
Oh, well, they're together or some shit like that, right? Is that where
they're
going
to be?
I'm asking a question.
It's not
WWE guy. I have to ask questions. Yeah.
Get a spare tire or something.
Can y'all stop saying goopy shit so I can get this joke off?
Oh, you don't want us to be funnier than you? It's not really that hard.
Would you be quiet, Andrew?
No,
Andrew.
Then why can't y'all do it? Shit.
Andrew, stop. Andrew, Stop. Honey. He's got a horny joke. He needs to get it off.
Oh, it's just like horny facts? Retweet them, buddy. Let's go. What's your Twitter like?
Since you children want to be pestilent, you, I refuse pestilent? To allow you like to hear my humor.
I thought it was... But we're getting pestilent now? Holy shit. We're gonna get locust?
Tell the joke. We want to laugh.
Yeah, it's ruined now. So getting back to the WWE title picture. The thing, yeah, you're that we're down there. We're
done. Can you write it? Can you write it down and find a better place to slip it in? That's what she said.
No. So getting back to the WWE title picture.
You're punishing the listeners for our transgressions.
Let you both learn a lesson from this.
We're not going to learn our lesson. You're just screwing the listeners over.
No, no, no. Don't try to Jedi mind trick flip this shit on me.
Anyway, so he's just trying to blame us to bait the listeners into getting mad, but really it's just his bullshit because he didn't have anything.
Let me tell you, everybody that's listening, I want you to appreciate what's happening here because Andrew and I will fail to ever learn any lessons, and Chris is just punishing you. So at the real C Platt on the Twitter, just let him know that you want to hear the joke.
So this is how Joe Biden felt during those debates with Trumps when he would just look in the camera and say, come on, man. Come on, man.
Complete a sentence. At least we're a little better than both of those two, so stop that.
Oh, fair enough. We have our faculties and all of our real hair. That's exactly. Fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Joe Biden got that Ric Flair shit going on where it's like flesh colored, but it just happens the top of his head is blonde for some weird reason. I don't know how you do that.
That's I can't what it tell if your skull is just or if it's just the color of your hair, but you know it's...
You look good with a blade job, Joe. But getting back to the WWE Championship, I no disrespect, y'all know that was a joke, man. I don't want anybody to infer anything.
Does NSA know that? Because I don't know who the fuck is listening right now. This is going to be interesting.
That's
you
fair,
might get
but...
soon.
Yeah, them people. Yeah, that's yep. That's it. Well, this has been All for Pot is War, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's wrestling, I swear. We just think he could take a bump and he'd look good with color.
Go start the car, motherfucker.
Well, thank you all for tuning in to the series finale of Pot is War. Yeah. I'm going to be on my way to Guantanamo Bay now. Please continue to support the Chair Shot Radio Network and write me sometime.
Hey, avoid the cock meat sandwich. Harold and Kumar told me all about that. That's something you want to avoid.
So the WWE title, just real quick before we move on, I did want to get this out real quick. I like it because there's, God damn it, there's just a couple of ways they could go here. You know, I would love for Bobby Lashley to get the title next week on Raw. I don't see that happening. I see Drew McIntyre screwing him out of the title, and then we flip it at Fastlane, or what did you call it, bowling pins, or whatever the fuck you called it. And we get... It doesn't matter. But we get some sort of three-way or maybe even a fatal four-way. Maybe we throw Sheamus in there since he technically beat Drew McIntyre while he was champ and Drew McIntyre didn't pin him in the Elimination Chamber. So maybe we get a fatal four-way. Either way, I do think that, or at least I'm hoping, that Bobby Lashley walks into WrestleMania as the champ and him and Drew, they catch a fair one. Now, I will say this, though. I would forfeit all of that. Uh-huh. Just for the laugh of having Bad Bunny versus The Miz in a title for title match at the main event of WrestleMania. Can you imagine what that would do to the IWC? These motherfuckers would literally implode like a goddamn supernova. You know what I mean? It would be hilarious just for that reason, just to see everybody lose their collective shits. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be hilarious.
Let's play in that play space for a half a second. How do you take the title off of Bad Bunny then? Because Bad Bunny's had the top 4 out of 5, you know, cash drawing merchandise sales. So obviously WWE struck gold with this whole Bad Bunny thing. So if they really tried to pull like the David Arquette side of the game and just put the belt on him just purely for gimmick to try to get a couple more clicks or sell a couple more shirts or whatever it is, how do you get the belt off of him without actually, like, you know, beating him, and making it just look stupid.
You literally took the words right out of my mouth. I literally was going to say as you were talking. So you're saying they should put the title on him on the David Arquette side of the game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's as soon as you said title for title, that's right where I went with it. So put the title on Bad Bunny. How do you take the title off of him without it looking goofy?
Oh, well, this is easy. The night after WrestleMania, that Raw after Mania, you have the Hurt Business jump Damian Priest so he's got no backup and have Bobby Lashley put him in the... What are they? Not the what they? Not the Lashley play.
The Hurt Locker.
The Hurt.
Shut Locker, up. Right? No, I thought it was called the Hurt Locker. I thought it was called that.
No, it's the Hurt Business.
No. But the Master Lock move. I thought that was called the fucking Hurt Locker.
No, it doesn't matter. We talk about the
just
Nelson,
the Hurt Lock, yes, not the Locker. Lock. There's not an yes, ER. Yes. There's no ER on it. Just Lock. The Hurt Lock.
I know how y'all feel about them ERs, but yeah. So have Bobby Lashley come out.
I haven't used a hard ER in a long time, sir. Come on.
Wait, tell on yourself there, buddy. But walk into the trap. But no, you just have him put the Hurt Lock on. Bobby Lashley gets the title in 30 seconds, and we're off to the races.
Sure. I know. I get that's fine. I don't hate it. That's fine. And then it goes on to Lashley, and then we're good. And then everybody's happy because Lashley looks like $1 million, and he deserves a legitimate reign. At least once. So I suppose that's fine.
This match has to open Raw next week, right? Like, oh shit, I gotta tune into Raw because shit. The opening to Raw needs to be the bell. Fucking no music, no nothing. Cold open, bell rings. Lashley and Miz are already out in the ring, right? And then if Lashley's to win, and then instantaneously, boom, done. And then McIntyre comes out and something happens where there's another match at the end of the night. Like a rematch already right away at the end of the night. That's how you going to pop a number next Monday?
Because you started off with the attack that Chris said where the Damian Priest gets attacked in the back, which delays the match. No. Because you don't want to blow everything in the first 5 minutes. Who gives a shit about the first 5 minute rating? If Bad Bunny is that much of a draw,
this is going
to
lead to
at least second.
No. Bad Bunny's not involved until the last match.
Yeah. You guys are saying two different things, but go ahead. Continue, Tony.
Bad Bunny's not involved until the last match because what happens is if this happens right away to open Raw, everybody that's actually watching tweets and texts everybody that they know that watches wrestling and go, holy shit, fucking just the title changed hands, and then at the end of the night there's going to be another title match or whatever else, and then Bad Bunny costs Miz a chance to get his title back, and that's how we get Miz moving with Morrison to face Priest and Bad Bunny at WrestleMania, and onward continues Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley.
Oh, you're talking previous to WrestleMania, not post like we were already at. So this would happen if you didn't walk away for, 5 minutes. But anyway, not the point.
It also wouldn't happen if you would actually care to tune into Raw and know that next week there's a world title match between...
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? We were talking about Mania. Mania was the question, not next week on Raw.
It would also help if you were sober, because you would have heard what he was saying, and both of y'all would have heard that.
Say Miz, which I don't understand how.
So Elimination Chamber. The Miz. Hey guys, the Miz. The Miz cashed in at Elimination Chamber.
Yes, we know that. We talked about that in the first question.
Sorry, but honestly, just... there's a bazillion ways that they can get where that they can go from here. All I want at the end of the day is Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre for the title at WrestleMania, and prayerfully with the title on the Almighty. Period.
Good luck.
As the kids say.
I don't know. Like I said, I think he gets the title at least once, but I don't know if it's now. That seems a little too gimmicky because they've done a lot of this slow burn stuff with Hurt Business where they'll lose like 3 or 4 matches or like for 2 or 3 months, and then they'll have all the gold, and then they'll come back and... They're a legit team. I like what they did with them because it gave Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Lashley all a direction, aside from Lashley bending over with Leo Rush and talking about his sisters and shit like that. So it's all good. It's just it seems like a very slow burn. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Lashley get crowned anything until later, either after Mania or maybe SummerSlam or something like that.
So just to put a bow on this topic and to bring it full circle with the Brock Lesnar Bobby Lashley comparisons, obviously they're the same person. I don't care what Tony's talking about. Shout out to MVP, who has been one of the bright spots on Raw throughout this entire, and the bright spots in wrestling throughout this entire pandemic. And finally, finally, if we ignore TNA, Bobby Lashley has found his Paul Heyman.
Fair enough.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I thought that we would exercise the use of one of our greatest tools that we have. And it is not my tool. It is not Andrew's tool. It is not anybody's tool, but the one who is the very own MVP of TheChairShot.com. And I would like for you to officially start this by giving us what we most recognize as the Big Show's theme song.
Me, mo.
Mommy made me mash my M&M's.
Doom, doom. Well, it's the Big Show. It's a big bash show tonight. Oh, yeah, baby. Well, it's the big show. Throwing it out tonight, bitch. Throwing it out. N-A-W tonight. See.
I hope you got more to say, because I got to clean the blood out of my ears right now, so I can't really hear anything. So y'all talk and pontificate, wax poetic about Big Show before I can hear.
Just burning some more face calories over here.
What, are you dropping your kids off at the pool? What are you talking about? Burning face calories.
Yeah, my face, I'm smiling. It's burning face calories. I can't stop laughing.
And if you would like the official single or the cover single of Platt singing Well is the Big Show, make sure y'all go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt so we can raise some money and get that shit on iTunes and get me in a studio so I can record it properly.
Well, I think you just scared away anybody from buying our shirts ever again.
No, I want to put this, I want to put this out there.
Any money for the rest of the time.
I'm going to put this out there for anybody. If you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, between now and WrestleMania, and you can go on any social media and find any one of us or anyone from the Chair Shot and show us a receipt of the shirt that you bought, Christopher Platt will personally call you and record your voicemail for whatever wrestling theme song you would like that he personally okays.
Is this a reward or punishment for buying the shirt? That's all I need to know. Like, where are we going with this?
You really going to bury us right here, Andrew, and we try to make some goddamn money? Like, what's wrong with you? I second what Tony said.
My ears still aren't completely working, so that's probably what the problem is. The problem is my hearing. Thank you.
All you got to do is use the promo code, promo code.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real thing, and now I know how Tony feels. But yes, I will do that. I will do that. What he said I would do, I'll do it. Yeah.
It's official. Buy a Chair Shot t-shirt, show us that you bought a Chair Shot t-shirt on social media, and Christopher Platt will record an voicemail message for you in any wrestling theme song that he deems appropriate for him to sing.
All right. So since that's official, can we phrase this in the form of an official question? Like, Big Show is officially a part of the AEW, you know, brand. Is that where we want to go with this? How does everybody feel about the situation while my hearing is returning? Chris, do you want to wax poetic, please, a little bit? Just please.
Well, since you can't hear us, why don't you mute your microphone so we don't have to hear you? And it's mutually beneficial for all parties involved, okay?
Man, it's getting personal up here.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, we're not Kibibis. Talking about a topic that's mutually beneficial for both parties, so I don't know why we have to do that.
Oh, I don't know, because probably we're recording on a Wednesday and this was the biggest story that came out today.
Size wise, sure, because he's over.
Let me ask you guys this question. On a scale of, and just play along and just honestly answer this question, okay? Don't give me a hard time on what I'm about to ask and how I'm about to ask you to respond to it. And you know why I'm giving you a caveat.
I like
here.
How you're prefacing all of
this. I want an honest to goodness answer. When you heard the news today that Big Show is part of AEW officially. Like, I think Chris was the one to text us, right? And I didn't know him before he texted us. Did you, Andrew?
No.
Okay. And that's about when it was released. So, how surprised were you that he left WWE for AEW on a scale of 1 to 10? Because for me, I was probably like about a little over a 7, not quite 7.5 out of 10. I couldn't believe... I didn't think he would leave WWE.
To play in your play space, where I guess most people expected him to be a lifer.
Oh yes, come on in.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say from that perspective, probably about a 6, 6.5. But personally, you know, I could care less. So I rolled over. That's how uninterested I was in this topic. But from your play space, I'll say a 6.5.
Right, but isn't okay? So let's continue for a second with your narrative there and your interest in WWE. Like, it's not something you're not going to know what's going on, but you're not going to pay attention to it closely all the time. But doesn't that say something about what happened though? That at that level, you were surprised that he would leave. I mean, that's something.
He's been there like what, 22, 23 years? Mm-hmm. So like it's hard to believe that he'd leave because he was there so long. It's a similar reason to why Jericho was such a big boon for AEW, is that at some point you stop thinking that they're wrestlers and you just associate them with WWE lifers. And Big Show kind of fell into that same thing, because Big Show had his issues in WCW, came into his own in WWE, and then, you know, you just expected him to stay there because they helped him get back in shape. They helped him with a bunch of other stuff. They brought him back for a match here or there because he had the match against, what, McIntyre last year after Mania, technically. So, like, it's not like he hasn't been in the scope of WWE, using him for storylines, but he hasn't been active. And I guess this is just him thinking he's got more to do or more to offer. So, good on him to get another payday.
You know, when I first saw that the news broke, on a scale of 1 to 10, my first reaction was a 15, to be honest with you. Because, yeah, like you guys said, I just assumed he would be a lifer. But the more I thought about it, it probably comes back down to kind of in the middle where you guys are. Tony, you were a 7. Balls, you were a 6. I would probably say maybe 6.5. Because what was WWE really going to do with him at this particular point in time? Number one. Number two, if you're not Rock or Stone Cold or Triple H, you see how they treat their legends. Like Big Show, I would consider Big Show a top guy, but he wasn't on that Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H level. Not saying Triple H is on the level of Rock and Stone Cold, but he's literally the game right now. Like he's the game. So yeah, so they're gonna deify him. But all they were going to do is probably just embarrass him and shit on him, kind of like they do now with even a Ric Flair. And you remember when Triple H emasculated Booker T when Sting first came in and Booker was on commentary? Like, they probably weren't going to do a whole lot with him. And those Shaka Khan checks over on TNT, them shits is long.
And they don't bounce.
And they don't bounce. And you have to imagine that it's going to be a less strenuous. They're not going to ask as much from him as WWE would have, especially for probably the money that he's getting paid. So
I mean, it helps that most of the wrestlers come up to his sternum, so that's really not a lot of effort he has to put in there.
Well, that's going to be kind of awkward. When he does have some matches, that's going to be a little awkward. Yeah,
just wait for the Big Show versus Marco stunt match that, you know, they're going to put together at some point, because, you know, they have to, because it's an AW thing.
Oh, I'm here for that. And I want to see Big Show squash that Melon Farmer with his size 23 or whatever the fuck. Like, I'm here for that, just for the car crash spectacle of it all. And we're going to get, speaking of car crashes, we're going to get to that the next topic, but I'm here for that.
We're talking about Tiger Woods in the next topic? No shit. Holy crap. Thank you. Oh, was that poor form?
Yeah.
Too soon.
I know you're already getting into the AEW side of it, but do you think that the lack of success from the Big Show on Netflix had anything to do with it? Because I think WWE thought that was going to catch a good rating and get renewed for another season. And they had another person like The Miz, and they could have played him like, you know, the happy giant and the face that could have lost to the good heel. And that got canceled and it was done. And they were just like, well, then maybe he's done. You know, that's the last question I have on that topic. Other than the rest of the AEW conversation.
No, you might be right, because, yeah, they probably thought that was going to launch something and that was going to be their entryway into Netflix, and that possibly could have been another stream of income, having all these wrestlers start getting their own sitcoms or documentaries or whatever the case may be, and it just didn't work out. Because, you know, to be honest, I had no idea his contract was even up. And, I mean, we don't typically know that shit. But, yeah, you might be onto something there, Sonny, just to be honest with you. They probably saw not a whole lot of value in him. And AEW threw a number out there, and it was to an offer he couldn't refuse on the Godfather side of the game.
Because at some point, you fully expect him to come back and have a WWE Legends contract whenever he's done with AEW. Like, the day this contract ends with AEW and he decides he doesn't want to be with them anymore, Vince is like, here's your Legends contract. Thanks, because we're both going to make money.
He is, but he's not Taker either. So that's another guy I should have threw in that Rock Austin Triple H stratosphere. Because you remember when Taker started taking outside bookings and Vince McMahon lost his shit and he signed him to a 65-year deal or some goofy shit like that.
Something like that, just to keep him away from whatever the convention was. Or, yeah,
just keep him away from whatever.
What it was. But you're right, because he was going to have a signing and then they took it away.
It was StarCast, but you said it right. Yeah, but you said it right the first time. Keep him away from whatever. And then that's a period on that sentence, yeah.
Fair enough. But yeah, so that's a good no with the Netflix thing, because the sad thing was is that from everything I read, most critics didn't hate it. Like, they thought it was okay, if not like a little generic or maybe a little too cookie cutter, but like nobody was offended by it. It wasn't awful like Knucklehead or some of the shitty like WWE movies like 12 Rounds or the first like two or three Marines. So, I mean, that's something. So I'm a little surprised they didn't get renewed, especially in COVID era where everybody's just watching TV and you get weird fucking shit that gets renewed or that gets even greenlit. So maybe, but I just... Good for Big Show, Paul White, the Giant, whatever the fuck you want to call him, to get a decent payday out of it. And it's not like he'll be putting a lot of effort. Starting with commentary, a little bit of an active kind of roster thing once in a blue moon. Nobody's that big. Whoop-de-doo.
Nah, that shit was corny, man. I couldn't even... Urkel was on the show, Jaleel White, and I didn't even realize Urkel was on the show because I never got to the Urkel episodes. I didn't make it past episode 2. I will say Big Show was good in it. The show was corny, but he was really good in it. He's good. He's charming. He has excellent comedic timing. And I could see him doing more Hollywoodish type things. And now he's under the Turner branch. Hey, maybe they come up with a buddy situational cop comedy show.
They already
like
have
Mazzoli
it.
At
they
Iowa.
They already,
maybe
they already have
just
a show.
Supposed to
no,
be
no, no.
on the next
hey,
season of the Go Big show because he's
thank
big
you.
Show.
Thank so. You. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm the TV guy. Yes, that's where I was going. Good job, Andrew.
I figured that's where you're going since you looked like you wanted to interject and the Go Big show was just the obvious thing where you put Big Show on the Go Big show with you Go Big Show. Go.
Well, no.
Like Go me, Speed Racer me. Go, but it's Go Big Show Go.
Okay, feel me on this. Paul White, right? We got Paul White. Mm-hmm. We bring in what's my man, JB Smooth, as his character from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Leon Black. And it's a buddy cop show called Black and White.
Maybe it's called Thick and Thin.
Thick and Thin, that works too.
Stop it.
Bald and Balder.
Good God.
You know.
Maybe it's called. Oh, I got a good top. I got a good title. Topic four.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen. Apparently, there is some official business going on with a certain Impact Wrestling title. I would really appreciate it if Andrew would take the lead here and help us out and fill us in because I don't want to miss anything. And it does relate to maybe a certain title collector down the road.
Oh, you see, I thought you were just going to continue with the Aerosmith references because you said you didn't want to miss a thing. But
No, I'm not going to sing. At least not Aerosmith. That's tough.
No, fair. So it's not so much an Impact title. Oh, I guess now it officially is. But it's a TNA title. And they officially reactivated the TNA World Heavyweight Championship last night because we're, you know, recording this on a Wednesday. So on the last Tuesday edition of Impact, Scott D'Amore got pissed at Moose for all of the stuff he was pulling and the Moose's time, Rich's time, interrupting things, trying to hijack shows. So he just decided to reactivate the TNA title. This, much like the indomitable chairman of ChairShot said, Greg DeMarco, in our text back and forth, he thinks it's just a awkward excuse to have Rich beat Moose, get both titles, and then have Rich job to Kenny Omega so Kenny Omega can end up with more championships. And that's plausible. And the only argument I can see to that is after Moose brought back the TNA title last year when we were supposed to have the TNA WrestleMania show where they were supposed to kind of go one night only and go back to TNA, lots of people like that. All of the Twitch viewers, all of the old school TNA fans popped hard for it. They popped hard for Moose changing the belt from being a black strap to a white strap. They thought that looked really sharp. And Moose's whole character has developed and changed over the last year to actually be impressive. He's finally lived up to what Chris always wanted him to be when he was, you know, talking all that good shit about Moose, when Moose was just big and clumsy and just kind of, you know, living off of his former NFL stuff. And I get just, it probably
just,
is to
just
go
real
to
quick,
Kenny.
Man, I apologize, man, but you said the chair shot chairman, and my first thought was, holy shit, we got La Parka in this bitch? Yo!
You know, if Greg ever showed up on a show with the La Parka mask on, I would give him credit for that one.
The kingpin.
If he could do the little knee dance, too, with a chair and play guitar, that'd be funny. But either way, to just finish the propers, Moose has been amazing. If this is all just a bullshit way to kind of get Kenny Omega to do his best impression of Ultimo Dragon when Dragon had 9 championships, like, that's corny as fuck, but it's very much something I could see Callis and Khan and Omega wanting to do. So I could see it. I hope it isn't, because honestly, I would love to see Moose as the official Impact champion and just fucking put the rocket on him and make him the big guy.
Platt, before you go, real quick, can I say, what if this ends up being an ode to Dragon, and he gets to 8 and he doesn't win the 9th, and it's the whole time it's just paying homage to what he did?
Where they gonna find 9 titles from, sir?
Oh, come
it
on.
It tries too hard, though.
Think about the YOLO County Championships that AJ won. I mean, and he would love the fact that I brought that up.
Yeah, and then you also got, you know, NWA's only got 2 people on the roster, Nick Aldis and fucking Serena Deeb, so maybe Nick Aldis just jobs to Kenny Omega, and Kenny Omega becomes the NWA champion at some point, and then we have that interesting situation. So I hope it doesn't, because when Austin Aries tried to do this a couple years ago when he got up to 4 or 5, it was kind of cool to see the belt collector thing again, but you felt like it would flame out because Aries is an asshole and most people don't like him and don't want to do work with him. So it was just interesting to see how well he could ride that WWE little bit of bump in pay and a little bit of bump in hype. Omega's got his kind of connections with so many people that it would feel less like an homage and just like a bad parody. And I don't really like that. Like, some things don't need to be attempted to be redone or beaten, or just you can't recapture the magic. Once the genie's out of the bottle, you kind of have to just let it be. And what Dragon did with the J Crown was fantastic, and it's not something that we need to really see again. Like Sasuke, great Sasuke was the first one that had 8. Dragon beat him by 1, and we don't need to see Omega with his weird otaku, I need to pretend I'm Japanese bullshit and like I'm the fucking best fucking belt collector ever, like they're fucking comic books. And yeah, so I don't know. I just want to see Moose take Impact back to where it, you know, it used to be. I'm not saying like the great heights, but at least Moose should be the top guy in that organization, and he's been proving it left and right the last year or so.
All right, so before I pontificate, Amber, Andrew, plug your ears. Don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I'd miss you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing.
God. And Amber lives with him, too. Amber, I'm sorry. If you're listening, Amber, I apologize. I should have never mentioned the Aerosmith stuff just because Tani kind of made a half reference.
Oh my God, she's going to feel you on a spiritual level on that one, but that's it. You know, this whole AEW Impact Alliance, it reminds me a lot. It's akin to a bad blowjob. In theory, it sounds delightful and you're very excited for it. However, the execution leaves a lot to be desired. That's how I feel about this alliance.
Oh, I thought there was going to be a lot of teeth.
Well, that's bad for different reasons. Sometimes they're just bad because they're just bad. I could go into a whole diatribe about some.
Let's not.
I could. It's not the forum. I'm aware.
Go ahead. But let's see what happens. Saying. What the hell? I got a title. I got a title for that too.
So just steer us out of this bad blowjob skid right now, because you bad blowjob skid's a terrible image too in your head. Could you?
Now we got the teeth back in. God damn it, y'all. Now we got the teeth back in play. And it's just, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. You look like, you remember in the cartoons when Sylvester would get shaven and like his whole skin was like pink and stuff like that. There's something there. And I think y'all kind of picking up what I'm putting down a little bit.
A little bit. Or it just looks like, you know, a werewolf movie where there's a lot of scrapings on the back of somebody's neck or like the torn body. And then you're just like, oh. Oh, that's going to scab over and it's going to hurt to pee. That's fucking for her. It sucks. It's not talking about gonorrhea either.
So back to Moose.
Just saying.
I agree with everything you said, though. I think that, yeah, they probably are going to put the title on to Rich Homie Swan, and eventually Omega will be the Impact champion as well. I just don't care. You know, this shout out, I love Don Callis. Shout out to Don Callis, and he's been the only one holding this entire program together. It was nice to see the Good Brothers on Impact. It's cool. We'll get to that next topic. It was cool to see my man Kushida in on AEW,
you
but we'll get
Kenta?
To that. I meant Kenta. You know what I meant. He was Kushida in WWE. No, Kushida's
no,
still in WWE.
Hideo Itami in WWE.
I literally just said Kushida's still in WWE.
I know. I'm just telling you what the real name was so you can remember.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. But seriously though, you know, yeah, I could see them doing the belt thing, and it might be cool. I'm just completely out on Kenny Omega at this point in time, man. It just seems like if he doesn't have a Japanese dance partner, his matches are going to be underwhelming. He can't talk. He dresses like a 1980s gigolo at the beach in Point Blank or Top Gun or some shit like that. I'm just out on him.
So, should Kenny Omega be in the new Maverick sequel? You think he's going to do the Val Kilmer role for Iceman? Yeah, that's what he's going to. He's gonna do that weird teeth thing that we know no one understands what the fuck that means.
I'll be your wingman anytime.
It's better if I don't comment on this particular topic.
Kenny Omega's just like, I was inverted. And he's just like, what the fuck does that even mean, Omega?
I'll be your wingman anytime.
I'm just saying, there's some serious undertones in both Top Gun and professional wrestling. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just best if I don't say things.
I mean, it just sounds like you've lost that, Chris. That's all.
I've lost what?
That love and feeling.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, whoa, that love and feeling. You've lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. Chris, I want you to know I'll never get down on my knees for you.
Thank God.
Talking about a bad blowjob, but that's how we end the topic, everybody. Oh, wow.
Chair Shot Network.
Deal with that wet blanket, motherfucker. Yeah, go ahead. You had more. You always bitch. I don't know. No, well, you wait too long for your fucking. Come on, do the next topic, and then I do it, and now you got something else to say. Maybe it's your problem.
Read the room, gentlemen.
Can't
and I mean, we talked about this in pre-production where I wanted to go here. But I couldn't cut y'all off because I had two solos. So how can I cut y'all off when y'all break it off? Okay? Like, yeah.
How magnanimous of you. Okay. Continue.
I thought so. But just real quick, man. I can't believe not a one of y'all is excited for next week's AEW, where we're going to get Cody Rhodes and Velvet Cake, and I know that's not her name, versus Jay Cargill and Shaquille O'Neal.
And you wonder why I wanted to go to the next topic. Yeah, no, okay, I don't fucking give a shit about this.
One, I love anything Jay Cargill. This must be what it feels like when y'all watch the Housewives shows and stuff like that, because every segment and everything she does on that show is just such a beautiful.
Neither PC20 nor Andrew Belez watch Housewives.
Yeah, I was about to say, I didn't know I watched that shit.
Okay, well then I'm talking to the audience. But it's just a beautiful train wreck of a segment, and you just can't look away. It's that awful that it's actually fantastic. Yes.
I appreciate Jade Cargill, and I know I've listened to Cornette as well, so I understand exactly what you're getting at.
No. This has nothing to do with...
I didn't say you were biting his style. I'm just saying he says the same thing as you, where it's so awful, it's must-see TV. Because he says that it's like, she's the best thing on AEW, because she's so awful, he wants to watch, because it's fucking garbage, and that's at least entertaining to him. So I get what you're getting at. But you're not disagreeing either. Like, Cargill is aesthetically amazing. Like, I would love it if she never talked. Like, she is a gorgeous woman. But as soon as she opens her mouth, then that's the bad blowjob of the topic right there. Because, good God, she's got no fucking charisma. She's got no personality. If her name was Charisma, she would still not be anywhere near what that word means. So, Jesus fucking Christ. But that's not the point I'm getting at. Shaq is almost 50! Come on, I don't give a shit about this match. Shaq could have had a match 5 years ago when he was marginally more athletic and in better shape and a little younger and yada, yada, yada. And it could have been the big, big, big boy match of Big Show versus him. But now I don't give a shit. Like,
but that's another cool possibility, though, with AEW. Now that Paul White and Shaq are under... Yes, are both under the Turner umbrella.
Do you also want to watch Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan have like a one-on-one pickup game? Like, where the fuck are we? In the 90s right now?
Watch that.
I mean, I would, but I'm also
Come on, man, that's what I'm saying.
So we got I'm a Bulls fanboy, so that's just that. I don't count when it comes to that.
We got Jay Cargill. We got Red Velvet Cake. We got Cody Rhodes, who... God bless Cody Rhodes, because he's going to be in charge to try to keep all this shit together to make it somewhat coherent.
And it's not going to be.
We got Shaquille O'Neal, who's out here busting down plexiglass windows on the set of Inside the NBA, talking about what he's going to do to, what does he call Cody Rhodes? PC, do you remember what he calls Cody Rhodes? Does he call him a cupcake? I think he calls him Cupcake Cody Rhodes. He cut a promo on Inside the NBA, and he called him Cupcake Cody Rhodes. Yo, this is going to be amazing. This is what we watch wrestling for. This is Mr. T at WrestleMania 1. This is LT versus Bam Bam Bigelow at WrestleMania 10. This is Floyd Money Mayweather versus the aforementioned Paul White at WrestleMania 20, whatever the fuck. This is
Mr. T and Piper WrestleMania 2.
Or Mr. T and Piper at WrestleMania 2. This is going to be so beautifully, phenomenally horrible that it's going to be the best thing. I haven't looked forward to anything AEW this much since their first pay-per-view.
You know, I'm proud of you, Chris, that you can still keep some of your fandom along with like the Smart Mark bullshit podcaster stuff that you do. Because... you're not wrong. All right, let me preface this without trying to sound like too much of a smarmy prick. I like the fact that you're excited. The fandom is showing, and that's cool, and I appreciate that. But from the aspect that I like wrestling, I do like a good story. Cody tells the best story in AEW, which is a low bar, I'm fully aware. But still, I feel like this is going to be a lot like Mr. T Piper WrestleMania 2, where... you know, Mr. T misses that big punch that Piper sells, and then the whole match turns into a fucking joke. This match is just gonna get memed on. I don't see an exit strategy for this, because, like, Cardgill's a train wreck. Shaq probably isn't exactly wonderful in the ring, and you know, Cody can only do so much. And you know, Red Velvet Cake or whatever the fuck you want to call her. Like, I don't know enough about her to know her chops and her track record, but if it's like most of the women's division in AEW, low bar as well. Granted, harder to say after the match they had that Deeb and Riho had last week, because that was one of the better matches that AEW's had in the history of the company, much less the women's division. But the bar is so low on this, I have no interest. If it ends up being impressive, maybe it'll be like fucking Rousey and Angle versus you know, Stephanie and Trips, and we'll get impressed. But I would rather be impressed than come in expecting entertainment and get fucking disappointed.
Bro, I'm not saying this is going to be 10 stars in the Tokyo Dome. Have you ever seen Wicker
it's
Man?
Not in the Tokyo Dome.
Shut up. Have you ever seen the Wicker Man remake that came out?
The bees!
Yes. Come on, it is the last 30 minutes of that movie not one of the funniest movies that you've ever seen in the history of your life?
You just described 90% of Nicolas Cage's discography.
But not because it was a good movie, because it was so overwhelmingly bad and utterly ridiculous.
You described most Nicolas Cage movies that exist. He's terrible, but he gets to the point of being amusing because he's bad.
But that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express. I'm not looking for that, okay?
This is going to be the Room of wrestling matches, is what you're saying. So Cody Rhodes is going to be like the Tommy Wiseau, where he's just going to produce and direct and act in this giant fucking amazing train wreck of just beauty and crying and outrage.
I'm going to tell you like this. This is going to be, and I'm dating myself here, but you both will get this reference. This will be the Evil Dead of wrestling matches. Shout out to Bruce.
Technically, Evil Dead did have a remake a couple years ago, so that's not as dated of a reference as you think it is. But you mean the Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell version. So yes, I get what you're getting at.
Yes.
And Bruce Campbell is amazing. So
yes, he is.
Okay, see that one. All right, we'll see if this is Evil Dead or if this is fucking Little Nicky.
Little Nicky was funny too.
I liked it.
Okay, no, stop it. We're moving on to the next topic now. Definitely,
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, I guess this is the point because we're actually going to be talking about New Japan or Japanese stuff. So I guess I get to open up the topic and talk about things. So New Japan is going to actually have a very big weekend this weekend. And we're starting with New Japan Strong on Friday, where we're finally going to get Kenta versus Moxley. I fucking pray that Kenta beats Moxley for the IWGP US title, so he brings that back to Japan proper and they get it off of a gaijin that can only work once every fucking 6 months. Then we're going to have Castle Attack for Saturday and Sunday, where we're going to get a smattering of matches, some changed, because Hiromu Takahashi got injured. So as of recording this right now, I have no clue if they're going to actually do an interim title match, though they might not, because the prospect is that he's only going to be out for 6 months. And New Japan does have that 6 month rule where if there's 6 months of inactivity, then they'll strip you, but you do get that 6 month leeway. So if Hiromu comes back a little early, or if they fudge the numbers a little bit, they might be able to keep him as the champion and just kind of work within the division anyway. The tag match got changed from Bushi and Hiromu to El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru against Taiji Ishimori and El Fantasmo. We've got Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Great Okan for the NEVER championship. And in the turn of events that happened a little bit earlier this month, where Naito just challenged for the Intercontinental Championship at the New Beginning Tour and not both championships, this is that Intercontinental match where it's going to be Naito versus Ibushi, and Naito's going to try to pry the double titles away and separate everything again, hopefully, because those double titles are fucking worthless. So anyway, that's that. So it's three big nights of New Japan action. I think the tag match is technically Thursday when this goes up, but again, it's a junior tag match. Like, nobody really cares. It's like the New Japan's tag division is much like most tag divisions in wrestling, and it's very uninspired, boring, and who cares? So let's not talk about that. Let's focus on Tanahashi being the big strong boy NEVER champion, and Ibushi and Naito in their Whose Neck Breaks First match, and of course Kenta and Moxley.
Yeah, that's perfectly put. Who neck breaks first match. But just real quick, man, I want to double back to that Takahashi. I know I butchered his name, but you know what I'm talking about. Hiromu. I want to double back to his injury, because how bad is it? I've heard he'll be out anywhere between 6 to 9 months, and quite frankly, without him, that division is fucked. Is it not?
It's not fucked, no, because it's a pectoral injury. So I don't know if it's a tear or whatever, because New Japan isn't as transparent with everything. So I don't know exactly the extent. The first number I heard was 6 months, and if he can be on the 6 month side of the game, they don't necessarily have to strip him of the title, because he did defend it at earlier in February. So if he's back by August or roughly, they can fudge the numbers and make sense. So we're okay there. Junior division, it's a little light at the moment, because Yo is still hurt, and he's the other half of Roppongi 3K, but Sho's still a house. Taiji Ishimori, he's Bone Soldier from Bullet Club, whatever you want to call him. You know, he's wonderfully well-traveled, well-seasoned, former X Division champion, was in Noah for, I think 12 years, won the GHC Junior Championship a bunch of times, the Tag Championship a bunch of times. El Fantasmo's won the Super J Cup 2 years in a row, and he's, you know, bigger in England than he is anywhere else, but he's starting to rise.
You know what, though? I am really looking forward to the Moxley match this weekend, though, because he's kind of on that Omega list with me, because I haven't seen him have an interesting match or even a match I liked outside of his New Japan stuff. You know, negating his WWE stuff, but his most recent stuff. I take that back. I did kind of like the Eddie Kingston match, but most of his best stuff has been with New Japan, so this should be interesting. Do you think they'll take the title off of him? Because, I mean, what else does he have going on at this point? I know what else he has going on in this point in time. I forgot. What is it? The head exploding Tokyo Dome 3K, wacky waving inflatable two men exploding barbed wire on a pole, Judy Bagwell shit coming up with Kenny Omega, right?
That's close enough. I'm not gonna argue that one. Plus, he's also got Bloodsport going on, which
that happened last week though.
No, but he also challenged Josh Barnett to a match for Bloodsport 6.
Did you watch that?
I did watch the Harry Smith, Davey Boy Jr. Smith, whatever the fuck you want to call it, and it wasn't bad. It was a solid match. It ended abruptly because Smith kind of had his number busted him open, and then it ended abruptly with the double arm DDT Death Rider
paradigm shift
or something. Yeah. So he calls it something different in New Japan and AEW. So same concept, but then he won by knockout because he apparently knocked out Harry Smith. So it's fine. It wasn't bad. It was a decent match. It was rough. It was exciting. And I'm curious if Barnett's going to do the job to him at the next Bloodsport, but that's neither here nor there, because that still didn't like set the world on fire. But yeah, I mean, I think Moxley has to lose the belt. Like, unless they're going to actively be doing more stuff with New Japan, and I don't know how actively you can be doing things when there's still the pandemic and you've only got a handful of wrestlers that have, you know, residency in America that can probably even do something like that. It's probably easier just to give it to Kenta and then have him defend on New Japan stuff and possibly go back over to Japan for bigger shows. So I don't know. You got to get the belt off of somebody who's not all the time available.
Unless their name is Brock Lesnar, but I feel you. So
it's a whole different situation.
I know. Well, that's apples and orangutans. I know. But the Race to Break Your Neck match, which, goddamn, I just wish I love both these guys, but I hate watching them wrestle each other. And maybe they know what they're doing and they're not going to end up paraplegics in 20 years. Maybe they know what they're doing, but it's just uncomfortable to watch. Do you think there's any way that they take the title off of Ibushi, considering the last 8 months? I'll say the last year. There's been a lot of title switches in New Japan, you know, more so than typically what they do as a company.
It's a good question, honestly, because splitting the title away is just going to make an already thin roster possibly look thinner, because you don't have as much outside talent coming in, and then you have another belt now that has its own separate, you know, challenger system, if you really want to break it down like that. So if it was a normal situation, I would say, yeah, they're going to break it apart. This is fine, because then it also gives Naito a shot at the heavyweight if he beats Ibushi, so it has a already pre-set up challenge for the heavyweight, and then we can kind of get through that and get one step closer to Dominion and then G1 and yada yada yada. So I'd like to say yes, I would, just because I don't like both belts put together, but much like I think I said a couple weeks ago, it's also around that time when we could see a fifth generation belt, since we're on the fourth generation belt. So it would be a good excuse to, you know, make a new belt design if you're combining the Intercontinental into the heavyweight. So I can see it both ways. I'd like Naito to win, though, just because I don't want to see the Intercontinental be absorbed.
All right, so real quick, why don't you let the good people know where they can watch this show this weekend?
You can watch the show on NJPWWorld.com. And you could probably find it nefariously, but we don't really support that. You know, it's just 999 yen. So that ends up being less than $10. It might even be less than $9, depending on the conversion rate that month. But it's not that expensive, and you get strong, you get, you know, all the shows, you get all the Road 2 shows, you get plenty of stuff. Plus you get all the backlog, you get all the previous 15 Wrestle Kingdoms and all the other shows that they have up there. So it's worth the $10 or less. So it's hard to argue about that.
And I get Andrew's username and password, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, yes, yes. Somebody's still paying for it that way. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Get friends. Get friends, everybody.
Get friends. That's actually a good philosophy on life. But anything else before we kind of put a bow on everything?
Not really. I mean, Tanahashi doing strong boy matches might be interesting, but I'm curious if he's going to elevate the Never belt or if it's going to kind of stay where it has been.
So they don't have shit for him to do. They just kind of throw him somewhere on the card, and since he's Tanahashi, he's still a draw. Is that basically what it seems like has been happening
They're using him to elevate different areas. Look at it that way, because he elevated the tag teams last year, but then COVID happened and that got weird. Now he's in the Never title picture because he is the championship holder. So I think he's just kind of working his way slowly down the card, elevating different things, because if he's involved and he's touching it and he's elevating the opponents to his level, so to speak. So it's a weird perspective. I think he's trying to build people up, but it's not always translating that way depending on how things fall afterwards.
So what is he about, what, 44, 45?
I think he's 45-ish, yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean anything because this is wrestling. This Mella Farmer could be wrestling for the next 60 years.
Okay, but he's got the knees of a 60-year-old, though.
Muda has the knees of a 120-year-old, and he's champ right now.
Lies! He has surgery! They're bionic! Stop it!
Well, he has fake knees. That's just as bad. But anywho, why don't you let's wrap this up, man. Why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you, sir?
You can find me on the Twitter at IWC War Chief, and you could find me covering the New Japan shows, maybe not Strong, but at least Castle Attack stuff and Impact and possibly AEW Revolution, most likely not a WWE pay-per-view, but always Never ROH. So on thechairshot.com, that's where you'd find it, or you wouldn't find it. Chris, where can I find you?
Well, find me not slandering ROH, because they've been on something during the pandemic. They're not my type. But you can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlatt.
They had like 3 episodes during the fucking pandemic. Stop it. They took like 9 months off.
And all 3 were great, and I liked where they were going. So excuse the fuck out of me for enjoying variety in my wrestling. I find something I like in every company. I'm such a horrible human being. But you can find this horrible. Yeah, but you can find this horrible human being on Twitter at The Real C Platt again. More importantly than that, though, make sure you guys go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up an official ChairShot t-shirt. I say it week in and week out, day in and day out. If you enjoy the content that we provide every single day here at The ChairShot, the best way to make sure we keep providing that content every single day here at The ChairShot is by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and supporting the movement by picking up a ChairShot t-shirt. Because again, we are TheChairShot.com. We're not just a website, we're a movement. We're rounding third, hanging in the home, going into the WrestleMania season. And we got something pretty cool cooked up for y'all. And the only reason I'm saying it now is because I'm drunk, and if I say it on air, that means I have to commit to it. So now I'm committed and I can't back out. But it's going to be really cool and you're really going to enjoy it. So stay tuned to what we have going on ChairShot Radio Network. Commissioner Tunney, where can they find you, sir?
Well, at PC Tunney is where I can be found, and all over thechairshot.com, which is well renowned. And I gotta say, another great episode, fellas. And for everybody that's been listening, we appreciate you. Chairshot Radio every day, brand new content. And Chairshot Radio Network, man, tons of great podcasts. Thanks for your listenership.
Couldn't have said it better myself. For the Commissioner PC Tunney, for Mr. Andrew Snowflake McFoley Belaz, I am Mr. Velvet Pipes Christopher Platt. Thanking you all for tuning in to the latest edition of Pod is War. Until next time, we'll see you. Same Platt time, same Platt channel. Until then, shalom. Hit it, Carly.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.